a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Hello and welcome aboard Gallant and George on Wednesday, January 22nd of 2025. I am Paul Gallant. He is Joe George, and I guess Icepocalypse 2025, the follow-up to Snowpocalypse 2025, is over because it's 41 degrees outside, and I'm assuming that means that the snow's about to start melting, as is the ice, Joe George.
Yeah, I think we'll be back in the office tomorrow, which it's kind of...
getting used to this.
I don't know. I don't know if I like it, to be honest. I'm not sure. I'm dealing with poops with the little guy like right before the show starts.
Oh.
I'm like, I got to get the Comrex hooked up. So like, I'm like ready to get back to work, I think.
You're dealing with poops. Is that your nickname for him, or was he having a toozy kind of day?
A toozy kind of day.
He's, all right. Yeah. A little too much fiber last night. Got
yeah,
it. Okay.
So I'm like, I'm ready to get back to the office and just like how to deal with this 10 minutes before the show starts.
Like every golfer alive, Joe secretly wants to escape his family. Like that's actually what's going on here. Congratulations to Billy Wagner, the third primarily Houston Astros player to make it into the Baseball Hall of Fame. He made it in his 10th and final year. A small left-handed fella, but still could throw it pretty effing fast. I saw in a write-up about him that Randy Johnson once said of Wagner while he was with the Astros for that cup of coffee that he had, that even though he's a foot taller than Wagner, he felt that Wagner threw harder than him. As far as Wagner's numbers, 2.31 ERA and 422 saves over 16 years in baseball. That's the eighth most all-time. The saves number, he held his opponents to a 187 batting average, the lowest by any pitcher with at least 900 innings. Struck out 11.9 batters per nine. Among Hall of Fame relievers, only Mariano Rivera, who for whatever reason is the only unanimous baseball Hall of Famer. Only Rivera has a better ERA, a better walks, hits per innings pitched, and opponent's OPS. So again, congratulations to Billy Wagner, Joe. I'm pretty happy for him today.
Yeah, it's about time. Like, you look at guys that are in the Hall of Fame, like his numbers stacked up. It didn't make sense why he had to wait 10 years to get in. I kind of despise the Hall of Fame.
Oh, you kind of despise. Good, good. We're in good company here, Joe, but explain why you kind of despise it.
For a million reasons. We'll start with the steroid era guys. Like baseball knew what was going on. Those guys should have been in. Their records still stand. They should be Hall of Famers. I hate that, you know, a player can sit on a ballot for 10 years, and I'm glad Billy Wagner's in. I want to clarify that, but like, he didn't do anything in the last 10 years. I don't understand why these stupid voters, it takes them 10 years. It's the voters that are the problem. Like, it doesn't make any sense why it takes you 10 years to have 8 to 78% or whatever it is to get him into the Hall of Fame. He was a Hall of Famer from the moment that he was eligible. There was no reason to make him wait for this entire process to think that, you know, he was going to potentially not make it. And you have guys like CeCe Sabathia getting into the Hall of Fame the same year. And I like CeCe Sabathia, but like, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense why there's one person who didn't vote for Ichiro Suzuki. It's the dumbest thing alive. Like, how can you not vote for Ichiro or Ken Griffey Jr.? Like, why these moral high grounds that these guys belong on? And then, you know, and I pre-hate it. I pre-hate the idea that, you know, hopefully, Paul, you and I will be doing these shows when Jose Altuve is not getting in, because it's going to happen.
No. I do not think that Altuve will be left out his first year. Maybe I'm crazy thinking that, but I think, Joe, that we've seen a bit of a narrative change when it comes to Altuve the last couple of years. That said, it is possible. The fact
exactly.
that it's even
I hope
possible,
you're right. I hope you're right. I hope you're right that, like, that they're not going to do that to him, but like, he's probably the only guy from the 2017 Astros besides Verlander that the writers would be able to punish for what happened. Like, they can take their rage out over what the Astros did on Jose Altuve, and by saying being part of that organization and your first World Series being part of that, like, we're going to hold it against you, and it's stupid. So, like, I already pre-hate them. And those will be younger writers. Like those will be the guys who are, you know, like Chandler Rome will have a vote at that point, I assume. But it's just, I hate all of the Hall of Fame stuff. But I'm glad Billy Wagner finally got in because it was so clear he deserved to be in.
He definitely deserved to be in just based off of what he was able to do. And it's cool to see another Astro get in there. Right. I'm with you, Joe, in that I wish I had the same energy to be happy for Billy Wagner that I had for what you just said. Don't you think it's effing crazy that Ichiro Suzuki is not a unanimous vote? That the only person in Major League history to be unanimously elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame is Mariano Rivera? And that Derek Jeter is also one of the most voted for first ballot Hall of Famers ever? Derek Jeter, of all people. A guy who is not even as good as Nomar Garcia Parra. Oh, he was on the Yankees. Yeah, cool. Cool. He got 99.7% of the votes. That's more than Ken Griffey Jr. That's more than Nolan Ryan. Insane.
The Nolan Ryan's a great one, too. Like, people decide they weren't going to vote for Nolan Ryan right away. What's the point of, like, now all these processes are dumb, right? We have no idea what happens in basketball. Like, I have no idea what.
Too many people get in.
Yeah, too many people get in. You have coaches get in, like, while they're still coaching college basketball. It's so strange. We have, like, it's the Basketball Hall of Fame, and so you have guys that get in because of what they accomplished in college and overseas and in the Olympics. We know how the NFL one works, you know, where it's a bunch of guys in a room and, you know, John McClane and I guess now someone else will stand up in front of a room and will one day tell the committee why J.J. Watt's deserving. But this one, it's a bunch of guys who not even, you know, part of it, Paul, is like not even all of them cover baseball anymore. And they've tried to fix that a little bit. But a couple of years ago, like when they went through this, there were guys who were like living out of the country and haven't covered baseball in a decade.
Foreigners.
And still had a Hall of Fame vote. Like, that's crazy. Like, they're not even around the sport on a day-to-day basis watching baseball. I hate to take away, like you said, from Billy Wagner getting to the Hall of Fame, but it's just such a stupid process that I don't understand why we allow it to continue when it's supposed to be this holier-than-thou sport. But then you have people who don't vote for Ichiro Suzuki to get into the Hall of Fame. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Or a person, I guess.
I mean, we could argue that person might have been racist, leaving Ichiro Suzuki off of the ballot.
Never know.
I guess we'll never know. So I'm really happy for Billy Wagner. I want to keep saying that. But, yeah, this is the day of the year where baseball writers love to – some people will understand this reference – this is a day where baseball writers love to do what Marilyn Manson supposedly removed a rib to do. This is a day where baseball writers like Tom Verducci are going to fart into a wine glass and then they're going to bring it up to their nose. Like they're going to just take it all in. There was a video, I think, 3 years ago. 4 years ago, maybe now, where Tom Verducci had somebody come to his house with a camera, with lighting, and he does this monologue talking about how important it is that he votes for the Baseball Hall of Fame. I did a parody of this video. Baseball writers and the self-importance. I respect it because I wish that I could carry myself with that elitist douchery with which they do in the third most popular sport in the United States of America, because they're still holding it down. But I was hoping that we would see a couple of my columns today about why one player was left off of the ballot. It would have been funny to see that. Honestly, I would have respected it. I would have tipped my hat. But that's, Joe, what I hate about today is that we should be talking all about Billy Wagner, about Ichiro Suzuki, Ichiro, or CC Sabathia, but I always felt the need to bring this up. Takes away.
No, it totally takes away from it because I hate how cowardly the process is. Like, if you're going to be the lone person that does not vote for Ichiro, does not vote for Ken Griffey Jr., put your name on it. Like, tell me why. Go on ESPN. Go on Fox. Go somewhere and grow a pair of balls and, like, tell the world why you're so sanctimoniously not voting for Ichiro so we can all call you a loser to your face. Because, like, people are trying to figure it out because there are a lot of people who have guts and they do public ballots. Like, they will post them on social media. They will post them in articles that they write. And they will show who they voted for. Like, if you're going to be the guy and you're the last man standing of, like, why you don't vote for someone, and even for the same people who didn't vote for Billy Wagner all these years, like, I really want to know, like, why, like, what changed? Like, what changed? Like, did you get some new made-up nerdy analytic that made you realize how good Billy Wagner was? Like, have you been height shaming for years? like, what's going on here? Like, what changed?
It's a good question. I think sometimes this is what happens in the Football Hall of Fame. Somebody will actually put together a compelling argument to try and get one of those guys eventually in. So maybe that is something that was happening behind the scenes with baseball. But no, I haven't seen any articles or pieces about Billy Wagner. Honestly, you know, baseball, I think, has actually done a pretty poor job of trying to bring up history. And a lot of sports are starting to get this way, too. I think that a lot of young fans do not know about old players in a way that maybe when we were growing up that we did. And perhaps this is me talking out of my ass and looking at it through my perspective as opposed to what the actual reality is. But you would think that there would be some articles written the last couple of weeks about Billy Wagner. Instead, what we generally get is Billy Wagner, not sure if he's going to get into the Hall of Fame, stuff like that. And now he gets in, and you see all these articles that are written about him and listing all the many awesome things that he did over the course of his career. You know, he was part of the combined no-hitter that the Astros had against the New York Yankees. In 1997, he had a record for strikeouts per nine innings with 14.4. But you're right, 10 years later, why does it take this long? I get how maybe first year or second year, there could have been other people he was competing with, and that's a reason to keep him off. But it does feel like the voting process lends itself to, oh, he didn't deserve to get in on the first ballot. And that's just bizarre. There's no other way to describe it unless you want to just absolutely dump on it.
No, because it's all it is it's just someone saying that they believe it's their moral responsibility to not vote people in the first time. And I'm sure that's exactly what happened to Ichiro. I wouldn't be shocked if it's the same guy who didn't vote for Griffey. Like, you know, and
I hope it's someone forgot. And that this honestly, person who forgot, he forgot he had a vote. And then this person writes a my column afterwards because he's trying to get paid a little extra.
My bad. I forgot who Ichiro. I forgot to fill it in time. I was just scrambling.
I just missed the box on the little form I had to fill out. I accidentally voted for the guy under him.
I accidentally voted for Jason Kendall or someone like, you know, to get into the Hall of Fame instead of Ichiro. Yeah, I mean the whole thing is like that's what these guys do. Like they just think it's their right, their responsibility to keep guys off the ballot for the first time. And it's not. It's your job is to put, you know, the best players into the Hall of Fame. And I think it's a great point what you said, Paul, about like people not knowing the history of their sport and not just the media, but also the fans. I mean, think about these, you know, Speak for Your Pizza shows and like how limited these conversations have become around, you know, Michael Jordan and LeBron James. Like there are a lot of people who have, you know, strong opinions. I did a radio show with Elvin Hayes for like a year. And I remember talking to Big E, and he was just like, I get it with, you know, Michael and LeBron, but you can't ignore what, like, Wilt and Kareem and Bill right. Russell have done. And you look at them statistically and championship-wise and what those guys have accomplished, and, like, no one even recognizes the work that they've done. And, you know, you think about now when people talk about, you know, in the NBA, top 15, top 20 players of all time, people just start to lump guys in over a dream because they just feel like, oh, that was 30 years ago now. Like Steph Curry has to be a better basketball player than what was happening 30 years ago. So yeah, it's a lack of like history. And I think it is something that specifically for baseball, it hurts them that they choose as a sport as a, you know, whether it's the players or the, you know, media or the league itself. They, like, I think it all goes back to like the steroid era too of like, they ignore the reason why, I'm guessing, like me, you love baseball, was the 90s. Like, that's why I love baseball, and they don't talk about it.
Yeah, to what you're saying about the fans, I think the fans have a disservice done to them by these scribes of the game who I actually think should, on a regular basis, write about something that they used to cover or bring back an old article. But this is an all-sport problem. This is actually not just a baseball issue. I did get a kick out of seeing who else got votes on the Hall of Fame ballot. And for those just tuning in, Billy Wagner, the third primarily Houston Astro to be inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Of course, Nolan Ryan's in there too, but Nolan Ryan played for so many teams. So Ichiro Suzuki, CC, Sabathia, and Wagner get in. Guess who was closest to getting in?
I have no idea.
This is a very controversial figure in baseball circles these days. Somebody who was a part of the Houston Astros' first ever championship.
Oh, Beltran?
Beltran got 70.3% of the votes, 277 votes. He had a good career.
Yeah.
But Barry Bonds, Alex Rodriguez, Roger Clemens.
Alex Rodriguez got 146 votes. Carlos Beltran got 277.
Insane.
Now, look,
that's ridiculous.
Steroid take. Alex Rodriguez is the one guy from the steroid era that does not deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. No questions, if, ands, or buts about it. They put rules in place for steroids after everything that happened with Bonds and Sosa and Maguire. Alex Rodriguez broke those rules and was suspended for an entire season. Like, he actually was suspended for steroids, unlike the other guys. He's the one guy for me, actually, that, like, he does not deserve to be in the Hall of Fame because he actually broke the rules. Barry Bonds, technically, like, he never missed a game for steroids. So, like, to me, like, there is a difference. The Beltran thing kind of spits in the face of what I said about Altuve. If he's getting 70% of the votes, like, he's the ringleader. He brought it from the Yankees. It's like, it's that. Now, people don't talk about that, though, I feel like, when they talk about the Astros. They ignore Carlos Beltran.
They completely forget about that. They forget about Alex Cora. It's such crap. It really is. To what you're saying about A-Rod, I that's actually a pretty strong argument and a good argument against him being in. I would put him in just because he was like one of the best shortstops we've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
He was better than Derek Jeter, which is insane that Derek Jeter got in. I do not understand Jeter. Other ex-Astros, Andy Pettitte got votes. Andy Pettitte got 110. But people look at him with a side eye, too, because of the steroid side of things. I do think Manny Ramirez should be in, but again, I understand some of the pushback against him. Brian McCann, Astros legend. He got 7 votes out there, yeah.
Congrats to him. I didn't think he'd get any.
When I first saw the ballot, I read it very quickly. I saw Carlos Gonzalez, and for a second, I saw 1, Carlos Gomez, 2, Carlos Lee. I don't know why I saw those two. Those looked nothing like Carlos Gonzalez when it's spelled out, but Carlos Gonzalez got 2 votes, and for a second, I was like, wait a second, Carlos Gomez? Did his dad vote? Is his mother a voter? Like, what's going on here? No, it was actually Ol Cargo, as he's called. But there's some on the, like, Ben Zobrist was on the ballot.
Yeah, I think
Ramirez was on the ballot.
I guess it's just if you retire, like, if the next 5 years, like, you just get put on the ballot. I mean, Ben Zobrist was a back-to-back World Series champion.
Ben Zobrist got 1 vote, and it was from Joe George?
He got zero. But he's on the ballot. Like, he's listed as others receiving votes.
On the ballot.
Yeah.
I think if you play for a decade, you're just automatically like on the ballot. And then you're Ben Zobrist, get no votes, and then you're off the ballot. Yeah. I mean, one of the bigger crimes is that I think Berkman, his only year on the ballot, got like 2%.
Right.
And is off. And then you look at his numbers compared to guys that get in, and they're at the very least, like, he should still be getting votes and still be on the ballot.
This is 100%. Berkman had to say after falling off of the ballot, because he got less than 5% of the vote, so he can only be considered by the Today's Game Committee, whatever the hell that is. And Berkman, who was asked about it by Mark Berman, said, quote, "It's hard to figure that a guy in Edgar Martinez who had a great career gets 85% of the vote, and I virtually had the same career, and I get less than 5%. So there's something off about that. Sounds like sour grapes, and maybe it is a little bit, but the only thing you can do is keep moving forward. And he did have similar numbers. He retired with a 943 OPS. Edgar Martinez had a 933 OPS, for what it's worth. So, yeah, you could make an argument that Berkman should have been in. And, of course, he gets left off, and that's it. That's weird to me, too. Like, you could just get left off the ballot because, for whatever reason, one year there wasn't a lot of energy about voting for you. You know, whether or not Berkman's a Hall of Famer, to me, that's besides the point. It's more, wait, so no one voted for me. I'm just off? Huh? But they might have voted for me in years before. So wait, why is this different this year as opposed to years where I got more votes?
Yeah, yep. Because there could theoretically be like a backlog. Because yeah. This is more of an NFL thing because they're more limited with how many guys they get in or that they can vote for to get in.
Right.
But there could just be like a backlog and where there's 10 guys that are more deserving or, you know, you could argue are more deserving than you are on your first ballot. And then so you get less than 5% on your first ballot, boom, you're off. See you later. Like, that is one of the things that bothers, you know, it's a low-level thing that bothers me, but that is just, like, a dumb rule that I feel like they have where it's like, can we get, like, 2 or 3 years of getting less than 5% before we throw guys in the trash? And, I mean, Berkman seems like a pretty slam dunk one that he'll get in through the other committee. Like, look at the guys that get in through those committees, like Berkman's going to get in on those.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something I'm too riled up about, but it's more of like a, like you said, just like how's this thing work where Berkman probably got what? He probably got the same amount of votes as Brian McCann, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, and there's really no rhyme or reason for, I think, a lot of the votes that take place. Like, even if you look at like straight up like number for number, you know, there's not a huge difference between like CC Sabathia and Mark Burley, I would say. And I'm obviously like, I'm a Cubs fan at heart, but like, so like, I don't really like Mark Burley. But like, Mark Burley, like, their numbers are not that different. He's a World Series champion. He threw a complete game. He got a save in that World Series. Like, was a really good pitcher.
He did it with the White Sox, who, like, yeah, one of the worst organizations in sports
history.
Like,
winning 17 rings. Yeah,
yeah, pretty much. And like, a 100-year drought.
Yeah, and like he gets 45 votes, and CC Sabathia gets over 300. Like, it's just crazy to me, like, the difference of, like, you have guys who are similar on the same ballots, and that goes back to the Berkman thing where it's, you just look at other guys who are in the Hall of Fame, and it's just, well, yeah, like, the numbers say you should be in. I don't get it.
And then you factor in some other possibilities as to why Berkman didn't get in, and for those who don't know, he did a radio interview. I forget the radio station, but he was speaking for Campaign for Houston, which imposed a ballot initiative back in 2015 known as the Houston Equal Rights Ordinance that would have provided equal protection for transgender people in public bathrooms. The quote that is highlighted that he said on this interview about, geez, I guess almost 10 years ago, he said, quote, "To me, tolerance is the virtue that's killing this country. We're tolerant of everything. You know, everything is okay, and as long as you want to do it, and as long as it feels good to you, then it's perfectly acceptable to do it. Those are the kind of things that lead you down a slippery slope, and you'll get in trouble in a hurry." He makes those comments today. I wonder how it's received back in 2015. Definitely received a little bit different because I think that was during a time where we were going with the pendulum towards being more, you know, hey, equal rights for folks like that. But what's funny is having an opinion like that or just being an unrepentant a-hole and very loud about your opinions, kind of like Kirk Schilling's been, that also somehow becomes a factor into whether or not you get into the Baseball Hall of Fame. And, you know, Ty Cobb, there's a lot of tall tales about Ty Cobb, but Ty Cobb supposedly was the worst. And that guy's it. One of the best players ever, so maybe that's why you look the other way. But it's very weird. Some of the factors that lead to guys not making it into baseball's Hall of Fame should not be factors that lead to that.
Yeah, Kurt Schilling and what his political stances are, whether you agree with them or disagree with them, well after he's retired, and he's giving them as an analyst on whatever TV station or Twitter or whatever he's doing, shouldn't matter. And I've been with Barry Bonds. Like, it's not the only, obviously the steroids were a big part of it, but like,
he wasn't people, nice to media.
Yeah. And people publicly said that. Like he was a terrible insane person to me. And it's like, and that happened to T.O. in the NFL. So like, it's not a baseball only thing. And it's part of the reason why we see certain guys get into the Basketball Hall of Fame because they are so well liked. your how well liked you are should not contribute to your Hall of Fame status. And Ty Cobb isn't, like, my guess is the writers who voted him in were probably more like-minded to him at the time of his election to the Hall of Fame. So, like, that might have been part of the reason why it wasn't an issue for him.
Oh, Ty Cobb made some great points about minorities. Jeez. Joe, I'm Paul. You probably are right. Sean's behind the glass. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Up next, Soft Boys, you want to weigh in on Billy Wagner becoming a Baseball Hall of Famer and that Hall of Fame process? You certainly can. A lot of things that we'll discuss over the course of the next hour, the next 3 hours. Was this Texans season a success? But up next, who's been soft in the world of sports? Stay put.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Soft boys, in a tough sitch, Ime Udoka thinks you're a bitch. In honor of the time that Ime Udoka saw LeBron James whining in the midst of a Rockets-Lakers game and called him a soft-ass boy every single Wednesday at 12:30, we talk about who's been soft in the world of sports. I'm going to ask a question to Joe George to open this up. Joe, was it soft that Notre Dame kicked a field goal down 16 with 10 minutes to go in the national title on Monday?
Yes, absolutely. It was the wrong decision, and it was a soft decision, for sure. You go for it, because even if you don't get it, like, you missed the field goal, so, like, you should have gone for it. Like,
yeah,
it's a college kicker who's been terrible. Now, he was hurt most of the year, and he was really clutch, obviously, in the playoffs, but it was the wrong decision, and it was for sure a soft decision.
And you know what's crazy? They were not soft after that. You would think that a team that comes that close, screws that decision up, misses the field goal, you would think that they would completely crater after that moment. Notre Dame deserves credit. They hung in there till the very end of that game. Obviously, they got too late at a certain point, and you had to get an onside kick. But they hung in there as long as they possibly could. Had they scored a touchdown there, we're talking about a big if, but who knows what happens the rest of that game?
100%. Like, you don't know how differently it goes. It's just, I mean, look, because they scored another touchdown later, so, like, that touchdown may never have happened. Ohio State, like, Chip Kelly's game plan could have been totally different. But at the end of the day, like, you scored a touchdown to make it a one-score game. You converted the two-point conversion. And in theory, you can argue that if they would have scored a touchdown instead of kicking the field goal, it would have been a tie game at that point.
Yeah.
So, very, very soft. The team's not soft, but soft decision.
Speaking of that national championship game, you would think that this is a baseball writer's story. Dan Wolkin is a college football writer, and he said this after the game, going into the Notre Dame locker room after they had fallen against Ohio State. Bizarre scenes from the Notre Dame locker room. Players yelling at reporters. Coaches warning people not to ask certain questions. Amateur hour. Somebody responded to that post that he put up saying, basically, like, hey, dude, lighten up. Wolkin continued on his tirade. I think that if the locker room is open, which it is for the college football playoff, reporters should be able to go in there and respectfully ask questions without being sworn at. If a player doesn't want to talk, that's fine. So I don't know what happened behind the scenes. It does seem like Wolkin was the only person who took issue with what happened in the locker room. So I'm going to say, Dan Wolkin, yo, you went into a locker room after a team lost the biggest game they'll ever play in. I can understand why they might be a little pissed. Maybe don't swear at the reporters, especially if you got a curmudgeon like this guy. But you can't whine about that after the fact, man.
Honestly, I think he's just a liar, or the softest person on the planet. Like, if this happened, like, there were other national reporters there that were in the locker room. No one is saying this. No one is saying that the environment is that bad. Like, if you ask a stupid question and some kid cussed at you for saying a stupid question, then, like, yeah, like, maybe you're, like, get your panties out of a bunch and, like, get over it. Like, this just seems soft. And, like, and because it caught my eye when I saw it, and I was like, I don't love this. Like, but then when no one else agrees with it, and the beat reporters from Notre Dame are telling him basically to chill out, and like that it really wasn't like that. So I think he is the softy of the year right now. Early nomination.
Yeah, someone had to have just hit him with like an STFU or something, right? Like there has to be like a.
Yeah,
I think it kind of depends on what, like how the cussing was directed at him, or what it was, or was it just a, you know, it's a crowded locker room in the losing, or it's not as crowded as the winning one, but it's a crowded locker room in the losing locker room, and was it just a, hey, get the F out of the way? Is that what it was? And that would make sense that why there's only one guy talking about it. It's the one guy who got told to get out the F and way. I don't think, like Joe said, that I saw it and I was like, oh, let's get some drama here. And then no one else corroborates the story. No one else has the example of, you know, Riley Leonard telling him to, like, shut the F up or anything. Like, that. Don't ask that F and question. Like, no one has that. It's only Dan Wolken.
Yeah, it seems like there's someone that's connected to the Notre Dame team that has accused Dan of asking like pretty like illicit questions to clearly and like get engagement farming for a story. So whatever the question was, it reads as basically like he kept asking the same question over and over and over again.
It's like we effing get it, dude. And
like. Yeah.
Don't ask that like, open question again.
Yeah, like whether it was that like Christian Gray, who's a corner who gave up the big play to, you know, Jeremiah Smith, about like his performance on that play, the decisions to go for the field goal. And that's my guess, is that he was going to the players on offense asking them, what did you think of Marcus Freeman's and your offensive coordinator's decisions to kick a field goal? That's my guess, I would say. And they all got tired of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's believable.
Soft Boys continues. Who's been soft in the world of sports? We have a nomination via phone from Arturo calling in at 713-780-3776. Also, the Twitch is nominating someone as well. Anyway, Arturo, what you got?
The biggest soft boy in the whole wide world. He starts with the P. His last name starts with the M. Patrick Mahomes.
Ooh.
Imagine flopping around the football field. This ain't no pond. You ain't no real fish. Go back in the field and freaking work hard. Take those hits. Take those shots. Don't be flopping around like a little fish, man. Come on, man. Like a year, like years before, you went from calling out the refs to now ignoring, like accepting those ref calls and flopping. Nah, man. You stop. What happened to the? What happened to 2019, Patrick? What happened to that?
It's a good question.
It sucked.
Arturo, appreciate the phone call. Honestly, terrible job by us not saying that immediately to open up Soft
Boys.
I totally
agree.
Terrible job by us. He flopped in the red zone.
The one that didn't get called is the worst one.
The one that didn't get called was the worst by far. Yeah, and that is what I'm most mad about, you know? Texas lost that game fair and square. They overmatched.
What I hate the most is that flop, don't get the call. As I'm still like, I can't believe it with this guy. What a joke of a guy. Next play, amazing play to like touchdown as he's falling down to Travis Kelce.
Right, we didn't even have enough time to properly dump on that moment.
And it's just like, boom, game's over.
Yep. And then it's sour grapes if you're doing it any moment after that. Like we needed a little more breathing room to just focus on what a puss move that was.
Yeah,
okay,
that was crazy.
Meow. One last. Oh no, we got a couple more soft boys. The Pittsburgh Pirates. So they held a fan fest on Saturday. There were sell the team chants, and it led to someone saying, "Hey, I'm going to ask whoever is doing that to be respectful. No matter your feelings, we love the passion, we understand it, and we're not dismissing it. But show some respect for the three gentlemen, the Pirates owners, for doing this. We'll be taking questions, but don't be silly and immature about it." Well, you're allowed to chant sell the team. This is America.
Yeah.
What are you doing, Pirates?
Your team nickname
is Pirates, and all of a sudden you're like, you can't ask this question. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, this is soft. Also, what are they going to tell Astros fans not to boo at FanFest? What was that, this weekend? I think it is. Maybe it's not this weekend, but like, If you want to boo, you can boo if you want. Like, even if the Astros are giving away tickets for free to it. But if you want to boo, you're more than welcome to. Don't hold these things. The Cubs ownership got booed. The Padres are going to get booed because they haven't signed anyone yet at their fan fest. Like, if you're going to do a fan fest, like, you probably should bring in a shiny new toy to, like, show everybody.
The final question at fan fest, by the way, fantastic. A fan asked if they can find a way to extend Paul Skenes and O'Neill Cruz now rather than waiting to trade them for, quote, hot garbage like we always do, end quote. Good for the Pirates fans. Getting to actually say how they feel.
I mean, the reporters aren't going to ask a question like that, but, like, I love that, like, fans. I mean, look, you ask for fan questions, like, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah,
so,
hot garbage like we always do. That's fine. I mean, Look at the Gerrit Cole trade. It's Joe Musgrove, who was already an MLB player.
Yeah.
And I won't call him hot garbage because they were pros, but.
Not Gerrit Cole.
It was another Luno special.
Apparently, this was just a complete disaster. They were handing out expired water bottles, which I didn't know it was possible for water bottles to expire. Someone asked if they would put a pirate ship in the outfield.
That's honestly a
really good question. What else do we have in soft boys? Scottie Scheffler has been unable to golf for weeks because he had glass fragments in his hands from making ravioli on Christmas.
He drop it? What did he do?
I guess it would be hard to golf if you got glass fragments in your hands. But how does that happen?
Glass
and ravioli?
A measuring cup drops on it.
But wait, are you using a glass measuring cup? How fancy are you?
That's
so stupid.
I mean, he has a lot of money. He won every tournament last year, basically. But yeah, being ravioli also kind of makes it funnier.
It is such
an interesting food. I'm out for months now.
So he sustained a puncture wound in the palm of his right hand from broken glass.
So there you go, soft boys, everybody. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glass every Wednesday, 12:30. Who's been soft in the world of sports? Coming up next here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Was the Texans season a success, a disappointment, or a failure? We will answer. Stay put.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk. Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
We'll answer that question in a moment. Was the Texans season a success, a failure, a disappointment? We do have some breaking news in the NFL. The New York Jets have hired Aaron Glenn to be their next head coach. I think this is a great hire. I had Aaron Glenn on my TV show way back in the day. I know that my old buddy John Lopez always spoke very highly about him. I'm glad he's getting this opportunity. It's very cool to see him finally get it. And, I mean, he's a guy who played for the Jets back in the day, who I think did the most that he could with the defense in Detroit, given all the injuries that they had. Definitely hurts the Lions, who are going to now, I think, look at their coaching staff and wonder if Dan Campbell's going to be able to have the same kind of impact that he did when he had both Ben Johnson, now the head coach of the Bears, and Aaron Glenn, defensive coordinator. But I think this is a good hire by the Jets. We'll see what happens. The Jets are always the Jets, and they do find ways to get in their own way, even when they maybe do the right thing.
Yeah, the Lions have also lost their defensive line coach. He's going to be the defensive coordinator for the Patriots. Sounds like their O-line coach is going to be the offensive coordinator in Chicago. Like, Dan Campbell's about to, like, be that Will Smith meme where he walks into a room and is just like, Where's everyone at? They're going to have a whole new staff next year. Like, I mean, who knows if Mark Brunell could be on the move now. Like, he could be an OC candidate for Aaron Glenn. But I think this is a great hire for the Jets. They're like you said, Paul, they're the Jets.
Yeah.
But it feels like this is a guy that can get it right if they can get a quarterback. Like, because that's the thing. Like, they still need a quarterback.
Kugblay's comments, I was hoping that Bobby Slowick would have been hired by the Jets. Well, Bobby Slowick's getting an interview with the Jacksonville Jaguars today. And worth noting, the Jacksonville Jaguars, they've been turned down in some of their interview requests for head coach. So maybe the Jaguars get stuck with Bobby Slowick. It's a win-win kind of deal for...
That would be
the Texans.
That'd be wild.
And the Jaguars getting worse. That would be everyone would be very happy about that. I think the Jaguars getting Bobby Slowick, except for Jaguars fans eventually. But no one deserves Bobby Slowick more than the Jags. You think so?
Yeah, all they do is dump on C.J. Stroud and the Texans' offense this year, like online, and then they're going to see the offensive coordinator come over. Like they're going to have to convince themselves that it's only a C.J. Stroud problem. Not a Bobby Slowick problem. I think it's going to be Robert Saleh in Jacksonville. He's getting his second interview today, which I guess I'm not too surprised, but like it feels like I feel like that's the guy in Jacksonville, which I think is still good for the Texans.
I think the Jaguars should think about Aziz Alshire. You know, maybe hire him, be the head coach. That would really piss off their fans. I would love it if that happened. So this story, I saw it online and I thought it was fake because it's ridiculous. Joe Mixon's been fined $25,000 by the NFL. Why? Joe Mixon has been fined for saying this after the Chiefs won. Quote, "Why play the game if every 50-50 call goes with the Chiefs? These officials are trash and biased." Here's the problem. Joe Mixon didn't say this. This is from a quote in a SportsIllustrated.com story. Mixon said this: "Everybody know how it is playing up there. You can never leave it into the ref's hands. The whole world's C-man. But TJ Houshmandzadeh is the one who said, why play the game if every 50-50 call goes with the Chiefs?" And he ends up, Joe Mixon, getting fined and has a letter sent to him that quotes somebody else, not him. He did speak up about the referees. There's no denying that, as did Will Anderson, as did D'Amico Ryans, as did C.J. Stroud. They were all pretty careful with how they did it. But it's pretty funny that, and also messed up, that the NFL sent Joe Mixon a letter saying, "Hey, you said this. Give us $25,000 when he never actually said what they claimed he said.
Yeah, that's a bad look. How does that happen? How do you not, actually read the story and think that Joe Mixon said that? It's very clear, like, when you go through the SI article, like, it's not said by Joe Mixon.
TJ Houshmandzadeh tweet from 5:33 p.m. on January 18th of 2025. TJ Houshmandzadeh and Joe Mixon look nothing alike.
Yeah.
How do you let this up? I mean, the NFL,
I don't know.
Incompetent with their punishments. They really are. But this is
a whole new level of incompetence.
This is my favorite ever, but I feel for Joe Mixon. Like, Joe Mixon deserves an apology. Joe Mixon deserves $25,000 back and perhaps, like, a day's worth of interest, whatever that is.
If not more, like, I mean, he's already kind of, they're already, in the FOIA article, his agents already talked about legal action. Like, so yeah, they don't just give him the money back immediately. Like, they're going to sue the NFL, and they should. This is a hilarious mess up, and he will get his money back. Obviously, for Joe Mixon.
I don't know.
How can you not? Like what are they going to say? Like, oh, we just attached the wrong quote to the press release?
What? They spent millions of dollars on a report to say that Tom Brady more probably than not deflated balls. Like, they couldn't even come up with a definitive conclusion on that report. Like, these guys do not underestimate their ability to say, nah, we're right, F you. Like, but they love doing that.
But that's like if they said that Tom Brady admitted to deflating footballs, but really it was some other Patriot from 15 years ago that said it, because that's what TJ Houshmandzadeh is. He's a former Bengal from 15 years ago. What?
All those Bengals look alike.
Yeah. What did Pac-Man Jones say? Is he going to get fined for that, too? Watch out.
He'd have no money. He'd have no money for that.
What did Chris Collinsworth say? He played for the Bengals back in the 1980s. Yeah. Yeah, that's nuts. Free Joe Mixon.
Free Joe Mixon. This is ridiculous enough that like you just have to laugh at it because he'll get his money somehow. Because I'm not a lawyer. I feel like he has a pretty good case of they're fining me for something someone else said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And someone else said,
this is not gonna stand.
You said 5:30 on Saturday. That's like in the third quarter of the game. Like, that's just a tweet in the middle of the game.
Yes.
That's not
yes.
even something like that was actually You're said right. afterwards.
You're right. That was probably from like the third quarter.
So yeah. That's so
something
crazy.
Else. Maybe that was when Mahomes flopped.
I bet you it is. I bet you it's when Mahomes flopped or when he the slide.
Yeah,
the slide.
Yeah,
yeah, the slide or because the Will Anderson one was earlier at least. Yeah, so it was probably the slide or the flop. That's so crazy. This is so crazy.
Like, hey, like, you know, you both played for the former organization. Fine. Like, this is the way they're going
to
do things now.
Send it to Andy Dalton. Why does Joe Mixon have to pay for this? Carson Palmer, I'm sure he tweeted something.
Oh, that would be funny if it was one of those. Yeah, I can't believe that this happened. And honestly, I hope that he hires, like, Tony Busby or...
Dream Team?
Some lawyer who is a showman. I want a showman lawyer for this story.
Give me the Rusty Harden, Tony Busby team up.
Yeah,
they
put their differences aside.
Over? Yeah. Hell yeah.
To do the predator handle thing.
The predator handshake, love that. Yeah, this is nuts. So his agent, Peter Schaefer, says that he will defend and appeal the fine, and they will explore all other legal avenues to rectify the situation. No, I need you, Peter, to be a little more aggro with this, okay? This is a gross miscarriage of justice, and honestly, I think he should just call him racist. Let's do it. Let's call the NFL racist.
I mean, they're both black.
Yeah.
Well,
TJ and Joe are.
Yeah.
The NFL will be like, we're not racist. Look at the back of the end zone.
It says racism.
How, Your Honor, could we be racist?
Then they think TJ Uspenzada and Joe Mixon look the same. My God.
Yeah.
Yeah, TJ Uspenzada has a ponytail. How do you confuse them? Have you seen TJ Uspenzada's hair? No one has more hair. Like, that guy might be of all the speak for your pizza pundits. Like, no one has more hair than TJ Uspenzada. So, okay, maybe you can't see that they look completely different, but like, how about the hair? Is that a hint? Good God, NFL.
I do love Joe Mixon's response to this because I didn't know like that he is apparently a hockey fan.
Joe Mixon
tweeted, "I'm getting fined by the NFL for what someone else said. What's next? I get fined by them for Connor McDavid cross-checking an opponent in an NHL game." Didn't know that Joe Mixon was a hockey fan. Connor McDavid did a gnarly cross-check the other day. He's going to get suspended for, so
okay.
Maybe it's just in the moment Joe's aware of it, but I didn't know that about Joe Mixon.
Okay, the way you said that, Joe, now, you know, I do an accusation once a week. What?
There's no
black guy not going to watch hockey? Is that what you're saying there? I don't know. I'm just asking a question.
I walked into that one. Normally, I would like to defend myself.
You set yourself up for that one, big dog.
I walked right into that one. That was like, I opened the door and said hello. I can't even. Yeah,
he's Joe, and he doesn't understand why Joe Mixon's watching hockey. I mean, it is kind of strange because you know Cincinnati doesn't have a hockey team or anything.
Well,
like
I don't
that.
Know. We don't know where Joe's from.
I know he played football at Oklahoma. Something bad happened there. That was bad.
Oakley, California.
Oakley, California. Okay.
Maybe he's
that's also
San
Jose random, too. Like,
yeah,
California?
I was
going to
say a Sharks fan.
That's bizarre.
He's a Sharks
yeah.
fan.
Joe George, Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes, it's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. Was this Houston Texans season a success, a failure? You answer, stay put.
ESPN 97.5.